Chapter 4. The tyres of the taxi screeched to a halt outside the hospital entrance, and Justin flung the door open, narrowly missing a passing ambulance. He ran down the walkway and into the entrance. At reception, there was a plump woman sat behind the counter, thumbing through some papers on her desk. Her face was red and she had biscuit crumbs down her front.
"Excuse me, I need to find my father, Charlie Reed. Do you know where he is, please?"
asked Justin, wiping the sweat from his brow. The receptionist didn't look up from her papers momentarily. She sighed and looked at him for a moment and said nothing.
"Her?" she said. "Charlie Reed, please!"
shouted Justin, slamming his hands down on the desk. The receptionist grimaced and scowled.
"Sir, calm down, please," she said,
putting down the papers and looking over at the computer.
"Just tell me where my father is then, for God's sake."
"What was the name again?"
muttered the receptionist, squinting at the computer.
"Charlie Reed,"
shouted Justin. The receptionist raised her eyebrows and looked back at the computer. She used her nicotine-stained fingers to type the name in. The worn-off orange nail polish was lacquered to her chewed fingernails and chubby fingers.
"He's in A&E. They're taking him for X-ray. Down the corridor, turn left into block one."
Justin ran so quickly and was in such a panic he didn't even thank the receptionist. Not that he felt she deserved it anyway. He ran down the corridor and found block one. He saw the sign for X-ray and ran through the door. His dad was lying on a trolley with a bloody bandage around his head. He was being wheeled by doctors and his mum was running alongside. Justin saw them and caught up.
Mum, what happened?
Asked Justin, putting his hands on the trolley.
"Oh, Justin,"
his mum replied, sniffing back tears as they continued to run down the corridor.
He got that damn old wooden ladder so he could get the leaves out of the gutter above the shop."
They turned a corner and Justin narrowly missed the wall.
"It collapsed and he fell and hit his head on the pavement. I told him it wasn't safe,"
Diane continued. The doctors opened the double doors into the X-ray room and wheeled Charlie inside. The doctor held out his arm to block Justin and his mum.
"No, please wait out here," said the doctor. "We'll come and get you when there's any news."
"But,"
Justin started to say before the doors slammed in front of him. The two of them looked at each other, neither one of them sure what to say. They stood there for a moment, motionless. Justin's head was full of thoughts of his dad and all the nasty things he had ever said to him. The guilt suddenly welled up inside him, and Justin felt like he was having an out-of-body experience. He was brought back to earth by looking at his mum, clutching at her handkerchief and sniffing back tears. Justin knew he had to look after her.
"Come on, Mum,"
he said, placing his hand gently on her back.
"Let's go find a place to sit down."
The two of them walked down the corridor and found some empty chairs in a dimly lit waiting area. They sat in silence and waited for what seemed like forever. Justin was staring at the bare white walls in front of him, not sure if he could muster the strength to say anything to his mum. He was worried he would upset her by talking. She placed her hands together over her lap and bowed her head, beginning to say a prayer under her breath. Justin looked over at her and turned the other way on his chair, not wanting to join in. Every time they heard a door open, they would both look up and hold their breath, only to realise it was someone else. After nearly an hour, the doctor approached them and they both stood up. They waited with bated breath and the doctor paused for a moment. He looked at Justin and then at Diane, but didn't say anything.
"What? What doctor?"
said Diane, grabbing Justin's arm. Justin felt the blood rush to his face and he started to feel faint. He feared the worst.
"We had to do some extra scans, as any head injury is classed as serious."
Diane interrupted him by starting to cry, clutching Justin's arm and lowering her head.
"Just tell us, doctor," said Justin,
placing his hand on his mum's head.
"I was going to say he's fine. He doesn't even have a concussion,"
the doctor continued, looking at Diane.
"Oh, thank God, my prayers are answered,"
said Diane, looking up at the ceiling and smiling. Justin sighed in relief and they followed the doctor to the room Charlie was in. He was lying in a bed with a large white plaster stuck over his forehead. He was awake and smiled when he saw them. Justin ran and hugged him tightly, lunging onto the bed. Charlie laughed and hugged him back.
"It's fine. I'm not dead yet," he said.
"Dad, that's not funny. I was scared as hell,"
Justin replied, releasing his arms from him. Charlie chuckled and removed his arms too.
"I saw the bright light, but don't worry, I didn't go towards it. Obviously, God doesn't want me just yet."
Diane walked closer, and Charlie held out his hand and grasped hers tightly.
"I know what you're going to say, dear, and yes, you were right. I'm sorry," Charlie said, looking down.
"Oh, Charlie, you silly old fool,"
she replied, smiling and leaning in to kiss him. The three of them smiled at each other, and Charlie reached out and ruffled Justin's hair.
"It's fine. I'm fine," he replied,
chuckling and pulling them both in for a tight hug. Half an hour later, Justin went to reception to give them the discharge documents that the doctor had signed. He walked back to the waiting area where his mum and Uncle David were sat. Justin had phoned him on the way to the hospital to tell him what had happened. "I ordered a taxi for you, Mum," said Justin, sitting down next to them. "It'll be here in 10 minutes. Are you sure you don't want me to go back home with you?"
"No, it's fine, dear," answered Diane. "David is going to come with us, and you need to get back to your internship. Don't worry about us," she continued, smiling and holding Justin's hand softly.
Justin nodded his head, and the three of them sat for a moment, not saying anything, waiting for Charlie to come out. Their silence was interrupted when a passing nurse approached them.
"Justin," she said, smiling.
"Oh, hello, Jackie," replied Justin, smiling and sitting up in his chair. "How are you?"
"I was about to ask you the same thing. How come you're here?" she asked.
"Oh, no, it's fine," replied Justin, pointing at his mum and uncle. "It's my dad. He had a fall, but he's fine. We're about to take him home."
"Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it," she said.
"Well, send my wishes to your dad. Bye for now."
Justin smiled back and said goodbye. He sat back in his chair and looked forward. His smile fell. He could see that his mum and uncle were looking at him.
"That's the nurse who looked after Simon when he was brought back to the UK. She was there when he died," Justin said, turning away.
"Like you should have been."
His mum shuffled uncomfortably on the plastic chair and looked at David, who sat forward. He paused for a second and exhaled loudly.
"Justin, Simon did not die because of us," David said. His voice was cold and void of emotion.
"He was your son. You should have come and visited him," Justin retorted instantly.
There was a moment of silence and Diane looked up at the ceiling.
"When you're like Simon, it's better to keep quiet," she said.
Her words were so cold that Justin felt like he didn't recognise who she was.
"If he'd never said anything, we would have never known. Then he wouldn't have been thrown out."
Justin glared.
"He didn't need throwing out," he snapped, twisting his body away from them.
"He wasn't a leper."
Diane took off her glasses and cleaned them using her blouse, without looking at Justin.
"When you have children, you'll understand."
Justin gripped the arms of his chair tightly, causing them to squeak. He wanted to get up and scream in both of their faces. He wanted to tell them how disgusted he was by their bigotry. He wanted them to understand how that made him feel as a gay man. But he knew he couldn't. He didn't have the guts to come out, especially there and then in a hospital full of people. At that moment, his dad walked around the corner, clutching a pack of bandages and a box of pills.
"Right, let's get out of this place. I hate hospitals at the best of times," said Charlie, smiling.
They all left the hospital, and Justin waved them off as they got in a taxi and drove off, his face still expressionless. He made his way slowly towards the bus stop. For the whole journey home, he was struggling with the love he felt for his parents, but at the same time he felt ashamed to be their son. How could they be such loving people on the one hand, and such narrow-minded, cruel people on the other? The question went around and round in his mind.
and it wasn't until he got home and fell asleep on the sofa that his brain had a chance to rest. A week later brought a dreary dark evening. The cloud was thick and grey, clinging heavily to the sky. Justin and Jennifer were spending another evening cleaning the office building. Justin was trying to mop as quickly as possible, so they could go home early. He was pulling a bucket of water behind him, mopping random patches of the corridor, leaving large areas unclean.
Love looks not with the eyes, but with the mind, and therefore is winged Cupid painted blind, he said, standing in front of a mirror and gesturing.
He caught a glimpse of Jennifer out of the corner of his eye in the room opposite. She was stood watching him, holding a brush in one hand and a rag in the other.
What's going on? Are we on strike? Asked Justin, raising an eyebrow.
No, I'm just listening to you. Where's that from? Asked Jennifer, wiping her brow.
A Midsummer Night's Dream, Justin said, furrowing his brow even more.
Why aren't you doing anything? Do you really want to spend the night here?
Jennifer opened her mouth and laughed.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Union Boss, but we don't have the right to a small break.
She pulled a packet of cigarettes out of her pocket and waved it at Justin. She smiled as she saw Justin's discipline fading.
Go on, just a quick one, she said, throwing him the packet.
Justin sighed and put down the mop. They walked out to the balcony, and Justin took out two cigarettes, lit both and gave one to Jennifer as they sat down on the wooden chairs. The two of them were looking in different directions. Justin was looking at the brick wall in front of him, his mother's words from the hospital still ringing in his ears. Jennifer was staring at the depressing night sky.
Justin, I need to talk to you, she said, taking a deep puff of her cigarette.
There was a pause for a moment, as Justin took an equally long puff.
About what?
He replied, blowing out a cloud of grey smoke. Jennifer turned her head and looked at him.
I think it would be best if we broke up, she said with a straight face.
She turned away and looked at the floor.
I'm going to move out and find my own place.
Justin turned around and walked over to her.
With Matt?
He asked, tilting his head down to meet Jennifer's gaze. A slight smile crept from the corner of his mouth. Jennifer smiled back.
No, Matt isn't quite right for me yet, she said. It's just for me.
Justin stood back up.
Is it because I'm gay? He asked.
He turned away, exhaled a plume of smoke and turned back.
Yes, replied Jennifer. I'm sorry, but I have to. Look at us. This sham has gone on too long.
She pushed her blonde hair out of her face and rubbed her eyes.
The problem is, it's not just your family who think we're together, she continued. Sometimes I forget we aren't actually together too. I don't want to be known as the fag hag who can't get a man.
Justin nodded his head and sat back down, continuing to stare at the brick wall opposite. He knew Jennifer was right, and he couldn't stand the thought that he was making her miserable.
No, you're right, he said,
taking a last puff on his cigarette before stubbing it out.
It's not fair that you're suffering because of me. I know, replied Jennifer,
stubbing her cigarette out too and smiling at Justin.
You're a nice person, and you don't want the people you love to suffer. I'm the same.
Jennifer turned away and frowned.
But I need to be a little selfish for once,